broadband of God, but we have been called by an awesome God to proclaim the word of God behind the sacred desk of God, filled by the Spirit of God to the people of God for the glory of God.
Great. Thank you, guys. That was fantastic. Chamber Orchestra, that was beautiful. Amazing Grace. Well, it is good to be here with you at Southwestern Seminary. I'm so honored and blessed to be able to come on the hill here and preach the Word of God. How's everybody doing today? Y'all doing all right? Say amen. Okay, good, good, good to see you. Well, it is a blessing, Dr. Bingham. Thank you for having me come and preach God's Word. I'm so blessed to have many of our Great Hills Baptist Church family sitting over here. And God bless y'all. Thank you so much for coming. My wife is here, Ashley. And our middle son, Bryant, who is a student at Southwestern Seminary, online taking Hebrew, and he says he loves it, right, Bryant? No, he says it's hard, but he's a student pastor over in Plano. I'm delighted that that he's come over to be with us as well. So, Miss Judy Stone, thank you for inviting everybody to come. And Dr. Bingham and I were talking, walking over here, and says, how do you say no to Miss Judy? Well, you don't. You just, you acquiesce, you give in. So, wow, it's exciting to be here to preach God's Word at Southwestern Seminary. I love this place. Now, I may get a little excited when I start preaching to you, and if you say amen, I may get a little more excited, so I don't know if you should say that or not, but I'm delighted to be here. Dr. Kiker, God bless you. I know you get excited and wound up as well. So this is a first for me. I have preached at Southwestern many times. I preached at Southeastern Seminary. I preached a revival series of messages there. I preached at Liberty University one time. But I've always preached sermons that I have preached before, that I have well rehearsed, because this can be a little intimidating, right? You know, you got the scholars and the scholars in waiting. So I'm just stepping out on faith. God just gave me this sermon. And after you hear it, somebody's going to say, I believe he did just give it to you. It's brand new. I finished it this morning, but God has given me such a peace. Dr. McCarty, he's given me such a freedom and a joy to preach his word today. And I have one text for you that is the primary text, and then I have some supporting text that will buttress the main text. But it's in the book of Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. That is our primary text for the day. It follows Proverbs 12:25, which is my favorite verse in all the Proverbs. 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. I pray that God uses me today to bring a good word of encouragement and ministry to the hearts and to the minds of everybody here at Southwestern Seminary. And to those, many of you are listening online and watching us on Facebook Live. That's wonderful. We're glad that you're listening as well. But I really feel just emboldened and empowered by the Spirit of God today that he is going to take somebody in this room and he's going to lift you up and he's going to bless you and encourage you and bolster you so that when you go out of here today, you're going to say, praise God, I went to chapel today. I'm glad because that's why I'm here. To minister to you, to encourage you, to bless you, because I've sat where you now sit. I have taught at Southwestern Seminary, and so to the faculty and to the administration and to the staff, I give you words of encouragement and greeting as well. I know you, is that Dr. Queen back there? Praise God, one of my former students. You turned out really well, brother. God bless you. And man, we love Dr. Queen. I have the homiletical ADD. Y'all stay with me, all right? As I see something, I see it and I see everything when I preach. It's a curse. So anyhow, I do bring, this is a word of encouragement. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:27, if you'll look at it with me, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. Oftentimes we as preachers, we preach out of an existential need. In other words, we're dealing with something and we project that upon the audience. By the way, I've done that. Somebody say something mean to me in church, well, the next Sunday I want to preach on James 3. Hold your tongue. And really, I'm preaching to me, you know. We had a bad week of giving. Well, the next Sunday, bring all your tithes to the storehouse. You know, I'm really doing that more for me, my existential need. Today is not the case. I'm going to preach today on discipline and diligence, endurance, and perseverance. I don't have many gifts, but that is one that God has given me. It's a tenacious bulldog determination that just will not give up. My father-in-law, when he, right before he passed away, he spoke a word. He spoke a word of blessing. It was like an Old Testament moment. He was closer to me than my own biological dad. In Baylor, Southwest, over there in Dallas, he leaned back against his bed. He said, "Dan, I want to say something to you." It was very solemn, and then it got kind of funny. He said, "You remind me of a pit bull." That's what he said. "With a rag in his mouth, you shake it and you will not let go." And I took that as a compliment. Because there are times in life, in ministry, hey, in marriage, in every dimension and facet of life, you will need diligence, determination, grit, perseverance, and endurance. And if you don't possess it, it could be the downfall of your life, of your marriage, of your family, and of your ministry. And so today, the main text is this one. It's Proverbs 12, 27, when it says, "The lazy man." And that's interesting because Solomon will contrast the diligent, the disciplined man with someone who is lazy and someone who does not have that fire about them to get after it and to get things done. And it's interesting the analogy that he uses to communicate the truth of God to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. Now, that is an excellent analogy and metaphor for that culture, a very agricultural culture, a very, you got to get out, you got to hunt, you got to find your food, you got to kill it, you got to eat it, you got to dress it, you got to prepare it and all that. He said the lazy man enjoys the thrill of the kill, but he doesn't have the follow through to clean what he just killed. But he contrasts that with the diligent man. But the diligent man, whoa, then he has this prized possession whereby he not only enjoys the thrill of the hunt and the kill, but then he has the wherewithal to follow through, to do the hard thing. I really believe that's the difference between success and failure. Successful people are those who do what they don't want to do in order that they might enjoy what everybody enjoys. To do the hard thing, to follow. Oh, my land, here you are. You are doing the deal. I mean, you are studying. You're staying up late. You've got 2-3 jobs. You're stressed to the max. And you're going, is there hope in sight? Am I ever going to graduate? Am I ever going to get through this? Yes, you will, to the glory of God. Here's the deal. Just don't quit. Just don't give up. Because the diligent man, I like this little Hebrew word, harus. It means the determined, disciplined, and I came across this definition. Y'all gonna like this. I hope you do. It means to do something with enthusiasm. Isn't that good? The diligent man, the harus man, he does it with enthusiasm in God. And it's his prized possession, yakar. It means weighty, valuable, precious, rare, and splendid. I know the Sitzen Leben of Southwestern Seminary. They made me take German, by the way, to get my PhD, so I just got to share a little bit of that with you. The Sitzen Leben is the... is the situation in life. I know what's going on here. I know the transition here. And I love this place dearly. And there are Southern Baptists all across the globe who are praying for Dr. Bingham, praying for you, praying for the faculty and the administration. It's like the Spirit of God says, you got an opportunity to go and share with them, and I want to give you a word to share with them. And I don't know how y'all receive words from God, but I was 35,000 feet up in the air on a Tuesday night, last Tuesday night. Ashley and I were flying to Washington, D.C. to attend this Faith Leaders Summit, and so we were going, and I laid my head back, and for the next 30 minutes, God just spoke to my heart from Proverbs 12, 27. Ashley thought I was sleeping. She said, did you have a good nap? I said, no, I prepared a sermon. The whole time I was thinking, I've never prepared a sermon. Now, since then, I've come and I've written 5 pages of notes and manuscripts. That's how I roll. And if you want this for $19.95, I'll be happy. I'll be happy to give it to you. No, you can have it, literally. Kathy Jones, my assistant here, you ask for this, we will be happy. Oh, speaking of that, we have some devotions that I wrote, and we'll offer those to you. Now, $10, but if you can't afford it, I've given them the right and authority to give it to you. And we brought three boxes with us, so you come and get it. So I know the precarious situation in which you're in. Isn't it just like God, though? To do the spectacular, to do the amazing, to do the unthinkable when the times are the most difficult or they are precarious or we're not very, very sure how things are going to turn out. Isn't it just like God to step in and say, now watch what I will do? And he does it. He does it in our marriages. He does it in our ministries. He does it in our churches. He does it in our seminaries. He does it in Southern Baptist Zion. He says, you're in a difficult way? Then watch what I will do. And glory to God, he does it for his name, for his fame. You remember the famous speech of Winston Churchill? It's an apocryphal story. I bet Churchill and Spurgeon get credit for all kinds of stuff. You know, it's just... The story goes like this. He was at an Ivy League school in America. It was Columbia or Harvard. He had his cigar, had his cane. He stood up at the commencement and he said these words, never give up. And he sat down to an uproarious applause and everybody went crazy. Wow, shortest speech in the history, the greatest speech. And that's not what happened. The truth is always much more interesting. He was actually in Harrow, H-A-R-R-O-W, in England. 1941, the war was well, they were well into the war in England, preceded us. He went to the school that he attended as an adolescent. And they asked him to come and speak, and he did. And this is what he actually said. Never give in. Never give in, students, in nothing, great or small, large or petty. Never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Oh, listen to this part. Do not speak of dark days. Speak of sterner days. These are not dark days. These are great days. The greatest days our country has ever lived. And we must all thank God that we have been allowed, each of us, according to our stations, to play a part in making these days memorable in the history of our race. Wow. These are not dark days. These are stern days that try the souls of men and women. Who are you? Who are you today that the Spirit of God would so capture my heart and mind to speak a whole message on, don't give up? Some of you are coming today and you're thinking about giving up. You were thinking, this might be just my last chapel service. I've had enough. It's November the 1st. I don't think I can make it another month. And so I think I'll just check out and just turn in my ministerial card. And I'll just go back to doing something else with my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, don't give up. Don't give in. Of all the people God could have called, my word, he called you. He called me. So let us be strong. Let us be diligent. Let us be determined. Let us have that spirit of tenacity about us that says, the Spirit of God is on me. He has anointed me. He has called me. And nothing's going to stop me from fulfilling my destiny under the power and the anointing of Jesus Christ himself. Diligence is man's precious possession. What else does the Bible say about diligence and determination and perseverance? Well, thank you for asking. I've got lots of scriptures. Let me read this one. Romans 12:11. Not lagging in diligence. You with me? Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not lagging in zeo, to boil with heat. Is that Greek word. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. James 5:11, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and you've seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. I'm going to share just a couple of autobiographical moments in my life that I pray that God uses to motivate you and encourage you to never give up. I know there's two types of preaching, textual driven and bad. So to my homiletical friends, just indulge me for a minute. That's why I was arguing with the Lord. But Lord, I want to preach 2 Timothy 2:1-7, because I know that verse and those verses. I can exegete them. I got 8 points and subpoints. I just need to preach that. And on that plane, God says, you're not preaching that. You're preaching this. So here, you get it. It's coming to you. These are the events in my life where discipline, endurance have bode very well for me. Last weekend, I completed my first half Ironman triathlon. It's the hardest thing I ever done in my life physically. You're supposed to swim a mile, bike 55 miles, and you're supposed to go then, after all that fun, go run 13 miles. Who in their right mind? Amen. Who in their right mind does such a thing? But I did it. And I finished about halfway in my age division, the 80-year-olds and above. No, I'm just kidding, the 50-year-olds. And I told somebody, my son, Brian and I, we were talking about this the other day. In a triathlon, you swim, you bike, and then you run. And I'm not good at any of those three. My strength is in the fourth one. You say, that's not a quadathon, that's a triathlon. What's the quad? What's the fourth one? You don't quit. You just don't stop. You're in pain, you hurt, you just keep, if I can do that to get me a little medal around my little waist here, it's a lot smaller now. I've been running for 5 months in a row, but anyhow, when I get that little medallion, if I can do that for a physical prize and in Jesus' name, how much more can I do this for his glory? Not quit, not give up, not stop until God says you're done. And the second one is to be a pastor. Amen, thank you, brother, I heard you. Be a pastor, to be a minister of the gospel. These are difficult days, right? Churchill said they're not dark days, they're stern days. They're difficult days. And they're getting darker, it seems, and more difficult. And I think about you men and women. You leave this place, you go to your church, you go to your assignment, you go to your mission field. You go to your choir, your orchestra, you go to your education post, you go to your professorial post, whatever it is God is leading you to. I just want to give you a heads up on this. Barring an awakening of God, you're going to enter into a time that is way beyond, I think, post-Christian. We're moving now into anti-Christian realm. And God has called you. Here it is. Esther 4:14. For such, somebody help me. Such a time as this. I like Jimmy Draper's book, Don't Quit Before You Finish. That's a good book, encouraging. The last example in my life, and I could give others, where discipline and diligence was my prized possession, was to get this PhD degree from Southwestern Seminary. I was a student here for 9 years. You're looking at me, it's like, dude, you're a slow learner. It don't take anybody. Nah, it took me 9 years. I started out working as a custodian at Southwestern Seminary for 3 years. I made it to the ranks of supervisor. Diligent. Determined. I don't know if y'all wear blue shirts. I had my blue shirt on. And my wife worked at a bank. And for the first 4 years of our life, that's what we did. I studied Greek and Hebrew and preaching and cleaned floors. And I remember one time I said, God, what is the deal? I'm in my third year here and I'm still vacuuming the same carpet. I've got a bachelor's degree. I'm almost finished with my master's degree, and God told me, keep vacuuming, buddy. Keep vacuuming the carpet. Because see, what I didn't see was God was working. He was chiseling my life. He was burning away the dross and the pride. Ministerial pride, what an oxymoron, but we got it, don't we? And then 5 years of seminars and German and pastoring a church simultaneously. 2 months before my dissertation was due, the church split right down the middle. I used to have blonde hair. It was pretty at the time. You heard of presidential grain? How about pastoral grain? That church split 2 months before the deadline of February. I was to turn in that dissertation. It's hard. So I tell people, yes, I have a PhD. It's not a Pentecostal hairdo or a post-hole digger. It's not that at all. A PhD is a doctorate of philosophy, but the D does not stand for doctorate for me. It stands for diligence. It stands for determination. A tenacious bulldog mentality that says, I am not going to quit until God tells me to quit. The main thing that God wanted me to tell you today, for some of you, this is too, I don't trust people to say, God told me to tell you to do this. Well, just listen anyhow. God emblazoned on my heart to tell you this. There are times when you and I will suffer the chastisement of God because we are out of the will of God. We do things we should not do. We say things we should not say. We think thoughts we should not think. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that whom God loves, he what? Anybody? He chasteneth. Go King James on you. He whips you good. He disciplines you, okay? You say, I get that, Brother Danny. I know how that works. But listen to this. There are times when you are in the will of God, doing everything that God has asked you to do, and you go full frontal into difficulty and hardship and just pain and agony, and yet you are exactly in the will of God. Please explain that. You say, well, yeah, that's right. And this is what God wanted me to tell you. Look at Jesus, the Son of God. Ooh, Hebrews, I've been reading Hebrews. Oh, it's amazing. Read a chapter of Proverbs every morning. Now I've been stuck in Hebrews forever, and I love it. Dr. David Allen wrote a book on it. Awesome book. And so I'm reading just the other day that Jesus, listen to this. Hebrews 10:7 says, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures. Hold on to this for a minute. Verse 9. Then he said, look, I have come to do your will. Now hold on just a second. If the Bible says something once, amen, it's God's word, we believe. When the Bible says the same thing within the same breath, we call it Hebrew parallelism, or here he's just saying the same thing. And it's for knuckleheads like me. If I missed it the first time, I'm not going to miss it the second time. So what is he saying? What is God saying? The Son of God is saying, I have come to do your will. We're going to do away with the sacrificial system of blood, of goats and animals and cows, and I, the Son of God, am going to lay down my life. I'm going to die on a cross because it's the will of the Father. Whew. Come on now. And if God allows his Son to do that, will he not allow us to go through the fiery trial? You say, man, what is the deal? What was that? Why? I got the answer. I don't know. I don't. I do know Romans 8:28 is one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Sometimes I feel sorry for John 3:17 or Romans 8:29. But those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's hardship. And that's painful. It's difficult. Somebody said the problem with living sacrifices is they're always crawling off the altar. Don't crawl off the altar. Stay. Don't forget in the dark what God showed you in the light. Don't forget. In these days, and as I wrap up this message for you, Usually when I say that at Great Hills, they go, yes, amen. He's been up there for an hour. We're about to get out. The Methodists have already beat us to lunch, but it doesn't matter. We're getting out, you know. But these days, in faculty and staff administration, would y'all just pause with me for just a moment and take what we can take from this text, but can I just speak directly to the students? And I know, Dr. Bingham, you would agree, it's all about the students. It's about you and your preparation. Oh, I got a word. I got to read this to you. I don't get many original words. Here it is. Your perspiration coupled with God's inspiration is a powerful combination. These are foundational days. These are the days where you're preparing the foundation for the rest of your life. And all the education is good, all the orthodoxy and all the knowledge and all the skills and the preaching and evangelism. It's a beautiful education. It's a holistic education. But it's all for naught if you're not rooted in Christ and if you're not walking with Him, I mean deep in the Lord, because the winds are a-coming. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7, not if the winds come and the rain and He said, when it comes, it will blow across your foundation. And if it's sturdy and you're diligent and you're hanging in there and you're trusting in God, the wind's going to come, they're going to blow, and you're going to still stand strong for the gospel. Don't look at me like that, friend. It's true. You say, well, I'm just God's exception. It's all going to be rosy for me, and it's all going to be wonderful for me. What you've been smoking, friend, that's not the way it goes. That's not the way it goes. Hard times come. The winds of adversity, they blow. And your foundation and my foundation are going to be tested. And if it's built on the rock, glory to God, we stand. If it's built on shifting sand, then we fall. And I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it because I'm almost finished, right? When I was a professor at Southeastern and at Southwestern, I had two types of students. I had the arrogant and the humble. Like some of you here, you're arrogant. You say, well, I know, I just can't help it, brother. I just can't help it. I mean, I'm God's gift to the ministry. What can I do, you know? It's coming. You're not going to make it. And humble Sally over there, or humble Joe, they're going to go right past you and do great things for God because God's going to put you on a shelf because you were proud. You were arrogant. You weren't built on a solid foundation. But to the humble, the spoils, the blessings go to those who are passionately in love with Jesus, and they're humble, and they finish. Oh, I got a picture for you. Ready? This Mexico City, Florida, just a few weeks ago, Hurricane Michael comes roaring through. And there was one house that stood. Now that's interesting. A picture's worth a gazillion words. Look at that. The owners of that house, I believe it was a dad, a guy, and his nephew. Last year they said, we're going to build a house that's going to weather the mother of all storms. They had no idea that the mama was coming in just a few months. From 2 degrees, 2 more miles per hour, it would have been a Category 5 storm. And it devastated almost everything around it. But they built on a solid foundation. I pray in the years to come, that's you. That's you. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence, determination, grit, endurance, perseverance. That is man's precious possession. I'm going to pray for you, and then Dr. Bingham will come close us out. Thank you, Lord, for our time together. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the men and the women that are in this room, champions. But Lord, I believe you will use in amazing ways, God, as they stay close and clean, as they stay grounded in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the words of this pastor who said, I've had a lot of pain in my life. In fact, almost everything I've learned in life, I've learned through pain. I've learned nothing from pleasure. I've learned very little from success, but I've learned boatloads through pain. God is more interested in making me a man of God than he is making me comfortable. And God is more interested in making you a man or woman of God than he is making us comfortable. Lord, you're awesome, and we worship you, and we pray now that you'd take, God, this humble message, and that you would emblazon it upon the hearts of not just the faculty, Lord, and administration, but especially, Lord, also the students. And then, Lord, when the days get hard and when they feel like just tossing up that white flag of surrender, that they would say, no, God called me. God is with me. God will never let me down. He is going to carry me through. And I thank you, God, that you are that God, that you never fail. Lord, we love you today, God, even right now, afresh and anew. We commit ourselves to you, God, to finish well, to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Dr. Bingham, bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Forshee, for inspiring us towards diligence. We're so grateful for your ministry to us, so grateful for your insight to the Holy Scriptures. Let's pray. Father, move us toward love for one another. Perfect your love in us. Move us to love because you first loved us. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.